Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars today, Friday, and also on Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be a great weekend. It's a nice home, family, cozy up, get cuddly weekend. And I think that's perfectly reflected in our weather, at least here for me, where it's kind of cold and rainy and windy, and all you really want to do is sit back with your hubby and watch television or watch the football. That's my thing. And also, you know, have a cup of hot coffee or hot chocolate, your soup. It's that kind of a weekend, right? The homegrown kind of weekend. And actually, you can also extend that to your family. I'll be spending a lot of family time this weekend myself, and that is perfectly in alignment with the moon for the weekend that will be in the sign of Cancer. So totally, totally excited for this weekend, even though it means a lot of work on my part, because I have a large family. If you don't have as large of a family, then, you know, cuddle with those who are there. Just take the opportunity to hang out at home and have some fun. People are starting to check in here. Good morning, Debbie and Elisa. And she says, happy Friday. Blessings to all of you. There's Mimi. And I'm sure others will check in as time goes on. I am so glad to be back with you today and have my vision. Yesterday, I went to the eye doctor, which, you know, you have to do it, right? You have to go. And they always dilate my eyes. And then I can't see. So here I was driving yesterday. Funny story. I'm driving. It's a cloudy, windy day. It's raining and I have sunglasses on. I have sunglasses on because the glare of the headlights kills your eyes when you have them dilated. So I'm driving along. I went to my friend Cornelia's house and picked up some stuff from her, and I was headed back to my house, and I see a sheriff, and he looks right in the car at me and sees me with my sunglasses on, pulls out behind me and starts following me. So he must have followed me for about 8 miles. It's about an 18-mile drive from Cornelia's house to my house. And so he followed me for about 8 miles of that drive. And I kept thinking, oh my Lord, he probably thinks I'm hopped up on drugs or something silly like that. So he followed me and then finally turned off, and I was totally relieved. He must have figured I can drive, so there must not be anything wrong with me. I just thought it was so funny, though, because I couldn't take the sunglasses off, because when I did, all those lights just, you know, made like this like halo around everything. And you just, you know, I don't know if you've all ever had your eyes dilated, but that's what it does. It makes your pupils go really wide so that it lets a lot of light in and the doctor can see into your eyes better. But the unfortunate side effect of that is that all of the light then is very bright and can damage your eye if you're not careful. Let's see here. Debbie Hedden says, good morning. Ann Stevens, good morning. So I have a lot to get to today. So I want to get to that, and then perhaps we can do some card readings. I think I've got both decks sitting here, and I'll be happy to do that for people. But we have 3 days to get through. And, you know, even though energetically these next 3 days are, counting today, Saturday and Sunday, are fairly decent days, there's not a lot of disconcerting energy there for me to have to talk about. There is a lot going on, and we're going to look at it through various lenses. We're going to look at it through the astrology, of course, but then also human design, and also through the Pleiadian earth energy. So here we are. Let's jump in. Today's Friday, and we have the moon in Gemini today all day, and there are just a few planets that the moon will come into contact with. One would be two of the three are a little bit irritating to, you know, a certain degree. And one, of course, is not at all. So the moon in Gemini today squaring is a 90 degree angle that's challenging to the planet Neptune. So the moon in Gemini is sort of that communication and mind chatter, but Neptune is the planet of spirituality, and it clouds things up or fogs things up. So when I think about this, I think today that we have to be very careful in what we say and how we say it. We might even need to slow it down a bit so that people can understand us. And I was thinking about this already, because My husband had left for work, and a few minutes later, the phone rings and it's him on the phone. And I can't understand what it is he's trying to say. He's saying all these words, but it was like they were out of sync or something. Like it was either his communication not on or my mind not pulling in that communication very well. So finally I just said, okay, slow down and start over. What is the problem? And by then we could understand one another and get to it. But it sort of reminds me of what the early part of the day may bring for us as we try to understand what other people are saying, or other people may be struggling to understand what we are saying. Slow it down and be able to speak clearly and keep your mind in alignment with your words, right? If you get out of alignment, just remember that. Don't beat yourself up or don't be mean to the other person. Just say, could you slow down and repeat that for me? That will be the best way to do that. Later in the day, the moon will oppose Jupiter because Jupiter's in Sagittarius, and Sagittarius and Gemini make up an axis, right? The axis of information, of beliefs, of being sociable and out in the world. Jupiter in Sagittarius has been growing our optimism. Optimism at times, and at other times, just growing our way of thinking and asking us to stretch out of our normal belief patterns and to change the way we've been thinking. The moon in Gemini is right on board with that, right? The moon in Gemini is quick and it moves from thought to thought and from idea to idea. And like I say, when we're dealing with the moon in Gemini, it's like pulling threads, right? It's moving from one piece of information to the other, and it loves doing that. So today we have this great idea that we can expand our knowledge and change our beliefs. And maybe we don't even have to change anything. Maybe it's just we have to take a look at them. Like, why do I believe that? You know, why is that the first thought I think of? So today we have this opportunity to address that. Then later in the day, I'll say this, just before the moon turns void, of course, this evening, it trines the sun. And the moon and sun, when they dance in a trine, is an ease and flow of our emotional body and our physical identity. So our egos align with our emotions and with our soul and our physicality. It's a feel-good sort of evening that we have. At 7:15 p.m. my time, 10:15 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, the moon will turn into the void, where it will be until 3:43 a.m., 6:43 a.m. on the East Coast. So we begin Saturday morning with the moon in Cancer. So we are shifting our energy from the chattery, scattered, less focused energy of Gemini into the more home-centered and nurturing sign of Cancer as we move into tomorrow. I will talk more about the moon in Cancer in just a minute. Let me finish up the energy that is happening for today. Mercury is the planet that is the ruler of the sign of Gemini. And so I watch whenever the moon is in a specific sign, I go to my handy dandy little, did I leave it out this morning? I did not. My handy dandy little ephemeris for human design, which by the way, I got my 2021 in the mail the other day. So, which reminds me, here's an announcement. I'm going to make this announcement again later. I want you to get your calendars out and circle the day, December 11th. It is a Wednesday. 4 p.m. to probably 6 p.m. my time, we will be doing the Astrology for 2020 webinar, taking a look ahead at what is coming up for 2020. I waited until Mercury cleared its retrograde cycle to do that. And it is not only out of retrograde, but it's cleared the space. And so December 11th, circle that now, make plans to be there. I will put up the information, the cost, etc. For those of you who are in my membership program, it is free for you to attend. If you choose to join the membership between now and December 11th, you too will be able to be a part of that webinar. So more info coming, but I just want to announce that date. Okay, so I get to my handy dandy little ephemeris here when I see a planet that's the ruler of the moon this week or this day, and I noticed that Mercury is changing gates. Yay, we are changing, we are getting out of the gates of fear, and we are, from Mercury's standpoint anyway, And we actually have already done that. We've moved into the gate of self-expression already, but on this afternoon, we move Mercury into the gate 43, which is the gate of breakthroughs. This is great energy for having wonderful ideas, like thinking and seeing things in a completely new and original way, and being able to express that. I like to call this the gate of breakthrough, but it's also a gate of genius. And everybody has genius. You know, you may think of genius only as your intelligence, your IQ, but literally genius isn't just that. Like, I'm book smart. I can read and understand things like nobody's business. But if you took apart a clock in front of me and said, put it back together, there would be a problem. Put a banker's box in front of me and I cannot put it together. At least not easily. Eventually, yes. If I had instructions, yes. But my husband, on the other hand, who could give a care about a book, or who, you know, gives a care about education in the general terms of it, is brilliant when it comes to putting things together. We call him MacGyver because he can make or fix anything. So people, you have to understand that your brilliance, your genius, isn't just connected to your mind. It is connected to how you personally can bring out your gifts and your talents. That might be artistic. It might be in the mind. It might be how you sing. It might be the ability to see things that other people can't see. But for the next several days, we have Mercury sitting at the gate 43. And I'm going to show you on a human design chart, the gate 43. And I apologize, my printer is running out of ink and I didn't have time this morning to change that ink. But here we have the gate 43 sits on the Ajna and it reaches down to the throat center. So there is a cautionary tale, if you will, that comes up with the gate 43 here. And that is, you may have these brilliant ideas, and or you may have this genius that you want to express to people. But the Ajna is an awareness center. It isn't a place of action. It does connect to the throat. And some of you may have gate 23 and you get that connection to the throat. But if you don't, and you start to speak your genius, right? Or you start to talk about your ideas or your breakthroughs or your ahas, people in front of you may look at you like, well, what is that all about? They may not understand. They may not yet value, recognize, or even hear the words that you're saying because you didn't set the stage, right? You didn't say, hey, I have a brilliant thought. Are you guys open to hearing it? If they say yes, then you share it. And you've set the stage. But if you just blurt it, then they don't really get you. They don't really get the idea. Worse yet, a couple of days later, someone else may bring up the same idea and everybody's like, wow, you're a genius. That's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that? And then you're left going, but I said that last week. So be careful how you express your genius, but know that you have genius at your fingertips this week as we have Mercury moving into that gate 43. All right, let's see who else has joined us here. After Anne, we have Amy. Good morning, Amy. And Marjorie and Willa. Good morning, Willa. She says, first time in a long time I'm able to watch you live. That's awesome. Colleen has joined us. Kathy Miller. Amy says, yes, feeling breakthrough energy. The 16th was the last day the aspect was exact for my Saturn return. And I did a lot of releasing on the beautiful Aries full moon. That is really cool, Amy. Know, though, that the Saturn return is like turning on the hot water. And it takes time for the hot water to build. And then it's hot. And then when you turn it off, if you expect it, and you turn it to cold, and you expect cold water right away, you don't get it, right? You've got to let the water cool down. That's what a Saturn return is like. It's building, it's hot, and then it wanes. So you'll still have maybe some great things to come, some new, maybe new ideas about what your foundation is meant to be as time goes on here. Kathy Miller, good morning, everyone. Lots to do today. I can make pickle bread. Wow, I'm going to have to call you and find out what the heck pickle bread is. Never had that, but it sounds interesting. Amy says, I have the connection to the throat and I'm a singer. Isn't that interesting? Sing a new song, Amy. Sing a new song. Marissa, good morning to you. All right, so if you guys have any questions about anything that I'm going over, please feel free to write that up in the chat and I will check that out. Now, it isn't just Mercury moving into gate 43 today that is supportive of these brainy, genius, interesting, creative energies that are coming up, this breakthrough, because Pluto today is also in a quintile to the planet Chiron. Now, we've talked about quintiles. We kind of glossed them over a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember now what it was that was quintile what. But a quintile in astrology is where we take the wheel and we divide it into fifths. So if we take 360 degrees and we divide it by five, I believe we get 72 degrees. So this is a 72 degree angle between planets. And it represents a real expression of the talent inherent in the two planets. So it's kind of like where things come really easy, right? There's just an easy expression. And Pluto quintile Chiron gives us access to strategizing energy. It gives us access to breakthroughs. We've already heard that once already today, right? With the gate 43 breakthroughs, Pluto quintile Chiron gives us breakthroughs, maybe into our healing, into seeing where it is we've been wounded and how that wound has been carrying us through all of these different effects in our lives. And now what do we want? Solutions. Right? We have solutions. So the breakthroughs and the strategies and so forth come from our being able to access solutions to some of the more difficult problems, perhaps, that we've been experiencing in our life. And it's not only being able to break through it, but it's having a creative streak to get us through it, to be able to stimulate our ability to show our genius. Isn't that interesting that the astrology, which has nothing to do here literally with Mercury, this is all about Pluto and Chiron, but it backs up the other aspect, or the human design gene key 43 being affected today. So I love it when that happens. It's like coherence. And I love to see coherence in these systems as they build up. Today is also special in our Pleiadian Earth energy as we come to the last day of the Universal Week energy of 13. So remember, the universal energy is affecting all life forms on this planet and any other planet that is within our solar system and or our universe, right? Our cosmic brothers and sisters here. And that energy of 13 is about bringing things to completion. It is the Maya thought about the number 13 in terms like ascension, like evolution of consciousness. They saw it as an end point, yes, but also the door opening, right? You get to the top of the stairway, you open the door and you walk through the door and then you're in the new level. So it is our moving through the spiral of consciousness. We come to the 13 and its completion and we're ready to walk through the door into a new level. So today is 13 choosing energy. Choosing in Maya was Eb, and Eb, E-B, represented the road, right? The road ahead. And it gave us choices as to how it was that we would solve problems, or how we would settle differences between us, or choosing, which comes from an act of pausing, and then choosing responsibly. So the choosing energy isn't just about reaction to something that's showing up. It's that moment where we pause and then we choose. So today is choosing energy, 13 choosing. So we're able to see things differently. We are in preparation of ascension to the next level. And that will come tomorrow when we move into the one day, which will represent the new level. Any questions about any of that? Allison, good morning to you, sweetie. Amy says, haha, yes, I'm just relieved to see the aspect fading. I'm getting excited, ready to see changes. Rewards, been working hard. Good for you. And that's exactly what's demanded by the planet Saturn. And you do that, you get rewarded, right? Allison says, good morning, everyone. Finally made it today. Happy Friday. Well, we are most happy to see you, Allison. Mimi says, excellent timing for this energy, pulling much together for a great event in early November. Awesome. the flip side, get her done as setup falls on Mercury RX. So good that you know that, right? Good that you know that, Mimi, because that just means you have a little checklist and you check that list and you check it and you recheck it. And you know that there might be some tie-ups, there might be some miscommunication, and you're just okay with that, right? You're just okay. There's nothing else you can do except on your own end, make your checklist and make sure you know, all the I's and all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted and move forward, right? That's make sure that if there's something that you likely might forget, put a note on it, put a note on your computer or something on your calendar that reminds you not to forget that. You can do this. This is not a bad thing. All right, let's go into Saturday then. So Saturday morning, like I said in the beginning, you're going to wake up, the moon will be in Cancer. And in Cancer, it will be in a sextile relationship to Uranus, which is a 60 degree angle. A 60 degree relationship is an ease of sharing of the talents or the expression of both planets' energies. But there's a little scritchiness there because that means it's also going to square Mars, Mars in Libra, Moon in Cancer. So we have likely some stop sign energy, you know, a little bit of caution energy coming in on Saturday. So let's talk about what does the moon represent when it's in the sign of Cancer. Well, first of all, the moon is very powerful in Cancer because it is the sign that it holds rulership over. So moon and Cancer, hand in glove, they are compatriots. They work the same way, right? The moon is emotional. Cancer is emotional energy. So the first thing we know we have tomorrow on hand and into Sunday as well is emotional energy. And not just emotion, it can also be very moody energy, right? The moon moves quickly and changes its face. And that means it's connected to us in a way that changes our moods. So people may be more sensitive than usual tomorrow. You may be more sensitive than usual tomorrow, in that something somebody says to you would normally not bug you, but tomorrow you take that in and it bugs you, right? And then you maybe let that take your mood down or, you know, in some way, let it affect you and how you're feeling tomorrow and Sunday. The moon in Cancer also represents intimacy in terms of our family connections, in terms of compassion, in terms of nurturing. Cancer is the most nurturing or mothering sign, and that's what it does. It mothers, it takes care of, it makes sure you have your everything you need and you're fed and that you're warm and you know, on and on. And then intimacy here, remember the crab is the representation of Cancer, the hard shell that covers the soft inside. Inside Cancer is a pushover. Inside Cancer is soft and mushy and loving and just sweet, tender energy. But it has the hard shell that can come across as a mood when something has triggered the sensitive side of it. So don't, you know, be pushed away or repulsed, you know, lean in to the love, lean into the compassion and the joy of being intimately connected with those people around you. Cancer and the moon in Cancer represents the home and family, right? The connections that we have to our tribe, our community, our loved ones, and the need that we all have, excuse me, to belong. Right? Cancer is a sign. The moon shows how we are together in the world and who we are together with, the needs that we have. And one of the most important human needs is companionship or the belonging, right? We need to feel like we belong. I think we talked about this a little bit last week when people are pushed to the margins, or are the outsiders. We need to be inclusive of them because the fear for them is that they're so different that they can't belong. They become the lone wolves. And when people don't feel like they belong, then, you know, it brings up all other kinds of psychological problems, perhaps fears, right? And then they can act outside of the group And that doesn't always turn out really well, right? So let's be as inclusive as we can because every one of us has a longing to be a part of a group or to be a part of a family or a community. Bring them in, reel them in, friends, family, make them all your family. Think of the earth as your mother, as your family, right? And how would you treat your mother or how would you treat other members of your family? And even if you have unconscious, and likely you do, unconscious family members around you who always seem to be the ones that trigger you. the ones I'm talking about, the ones at Thanksgiving that, throw the bombs in the middle of the dinner table and the whole family dissolves into an anger. Well, include them, right? It's usually a call for attention. It's a call to feel like I belong. And they're doing it immaturely, perhaps, but we all feel the need to be together in this kind of an energy. We also may discover this weekend that we have or are feeling a lack of confidence in ourselves or a little bit of insecurity. The energy in the shadow of the moon in Cancer can be very insecure and can act from that insecurity, right? And draw the drapes across themselves so that they don't get hurt. So if you see that behavior in someone else, or you feel you'd like yourself pulling away because you don't feel good enough around this group of people or in this social situation, it's about the moon in Cancer. And all you need to do is open up your arms and become more, include yourself more in that group. We also have to watch out for smothering energy when the moon is in Cancer. Smothering because it can take on the need to take care of and be the caretaker or the mother to so much that it becomes stifling energy instead of supportive and caring energy. So just being on the lookout for that. Adding to that is Mars. Remember, I said the moon was going to be squaring Mars tomorrow. Well, Mars is also making a move to a new sign. I mean, a new, not a new sign, a new gate tomorrow. It is moving into the gate 48, which is on the spleen. And remember, we've talked about the gate 48 because it's the gate of inadequacy or the fear that we're not good enough, the fear that we don't know enough, the fear that our being isn't good enough, that we need to learn more, we need to experience more, we need to get out more, or there's something wrong with our fundamentally, there's something wrong with us. And until we can fix that, we aren't going to apply ourselves. So we want to be able to watch that because Mars is a planet of action. And if you're placing it at the gate of 48, and instead of looking deep within and knowing how valuable you are, you may look outside of you and come up short. And that may play into that moon in Cancer being insecure. So watch out for that this weekend as well. Right, that's not just today and tomorrow and Sunday, but Mars will be at that gate 48 for through the 27th of October. So remember, I said these planets are one by one, they're moving through all these gates of fear. Now, Mars is moving through a gate that the Sun has already been in, so we're already aware of this energy. And we can work through this energy, right? We can see the fear and we can move forward in the face of it. All right, let me check real quick, see if there's any questions. Good morning, Asa. Marissa says, my natal moon is in Cancer, so I am listening closely. I am relating to much of what you're saying. Indeed, you would, Marissa. I also identify with this energy very strongly because my rising sign is Cancer. So moon in Cancer, you're the very embodiment of what we're talking about here, right? That idea of insecurity, of mothering, of taking care of seeking that in that being a part of something and the compassion and the sensitivity and the moodiness, all of that is part of who you are and how you express yourself in the world. So moon in Cancer is, this is kind of, this isn't necessarily new energy for you. This is really just the same, but maybe a recognition of how it plays out in your life now. So that's a great thing. Linda, good morning to you, sweetie. So also tomorrow we have Venus changing gates and Venus finally out of the fear gates, right? Venus is done. She's moving into new territory, taking us away from the spleen, and she's going to be at the gate of creative self-expression. In the gene keys, the highest expression of this energy at gate one, which is the most yang gate in the human design, the most action-oriented, the most masculine of the energies, is the gate of beauty. The gene key and the highest expression is beauty. And the gift is freshness. And in the shadow, it's entropy. So is creative in creative self-expression. Here's a reminder for some of you who may be going through some dips in your mood or dips in your energy over the weekend, that creative self-expression comes from the depth, the womb, the quiet, the shelter, right? And it comes up from the void. So if you dip into what you might feel is depression or sadness or melancholy this weekend, don't be disturbed by it. Embrace it, because it could be that what's happening is you are incubating some wonderful creative ideas that have yet to come to the surface. So Venus being at this gate will be the incubator, but then the expressor of some of those more creative energies. Now, on the other hand, some of the people that express the shadow here are expressing it with the energy that is called frenetic. This is too funny. I have this giant fly. I don't know where he came from, but he's flying around my room and he keeps getting right in front of my camera. I don't know if you guys are seeing him, but he gets really close to my face. Like he's, you know, I don't know, message or something. I don't know. Anyway, so the more rebellious expression of the gate one is frenetic energy, where we're running around, rushing here, rushing there. Anything that we can do to not be in that lower, slower, melancholic energy. So when we get frenetic, we're in the shadow. When we get depressed, we are also in the shadow. Self-expression or creative self-expression here in this gate comes when we're in the void and we express ourselves outward into the world. But all of that incubation happens in sort of the void, in the dark, in the womb, right? We don't rush a baby being born, hopefully, right? We're not pushing to get that baby out any sooner than when it's ready to come out. Same thing with your creative ideas. You can't rush great ideas, right? They take time to, you know, move up to the surface and to be expressed. Marjorie says, my natal moon too, and I've never heard this. Thank you. She says, I love me. I love you too. That's awesome. So that brings up a good point, because often the moon, when it's in Cancer, also has us questioning our worth. Even though it's not particularly a sign that represents self-esteem, it does represent self-confidence or a lack of confidence, right? Remember how the crab, the symbol of Cancer, kind of moves sideways to something, never comes quite right at you? There's a little bit of passive aggression there. And so it's likely because there's a lack of confidence that they don't just shoot from the hip and say or do, you know, exactly what they want to do or say. They kind of come at you from the side, right? Sort of protecting themselves. They'll come from the flank, not straight at you. So you almost are, you know, worried a little bit that there's a confidence level that they haven't quite met yet. So find your confidence, right? Find your confidence, find your security, find your stability, and come out of hiding and be all that you have and can be with the moon in the sign of Cancer. Okay. Thanks for sharing that, Marjorie. The other thing happening tomorrow, Mercury is in a sextile to Pluto. Here is productive energy. Mercury, the planet that is about our mind and our communication, Pluto about power and being empowered. And we're being empowered to, number one, be very productive. So if you use this energy appropriately, then your mind is working in your behalf and not against you, right? And what I mean by that is you have clear thinking. You are able to see things maybe in a way that you haven't been able to see them before, and it aids you in productivity. But the other thing is, remember, Mercury is in Scorpio and Pluto's in Capricorn. So Pluto in Capricorn has given us the basis for the structure, for the form to be built, to regenerate to build yet again or build something new. But Mercury in Scorpio is giving us that very probing and investigative ability. So it's like looking at the plans for a building, the blueprints, let's say, and being able to see right through into the depth of that, seeing where there may be problems, seeing what you could strengthen, and then going straight to the building of it, right? So we have some really good energy with us as well Saturday for regenerating and probing, investigating, and being productive. All right. Oh, and also tomorrow, tomorrow's a busy day. Tomorrow's also the one energy day in the Pleiadian Earth energy. It is one exploring, which was Ben in Mayan, and Ben in Mayan was the reed, right? So what we can glean from that is the reed has to be flexible but strong, right? So what we get is one is a new beginning, right? It's that doorway that we opened, you know, as we got to the top of the stairwell, we opened up the door and now we walk through the door with the one energy. And it's new beginnings, it's seeing things new, it's new ideas, it's a creative a thrust, if you will, outward. And with the exploring energy, it says, you know, maybe it's time to broaden your horizons a bit. Maybe it's time to turn things upside down and look at them from a new point of view, rather than being rigid, rather than staying stuck. That would be the shadow energy here, right? The reed literally needs to be able to sway with the breeze or the inrush of water or the outrush of water. If it holds too rigid, it breaks. So we don't want to break. We want to be able to yield and bend and go with the flow. And that's what tomorrow's energy is all about. Seeing other points of view. Travel is good under this kind of transit. It is also a great time to, you know, look at the bigger picture, see the bigger picture. All right. All of that's tomorrow. Can you believe that? Right. That's a lot. Now, Sunday, the moon is in Cancer still all day. It is in a trine to Venus and a trine to Neptune. This is love. This is compassion. This is spirituality. This is being intuitive, in tune, inspirited. It is really a great energy that we have on Sunday. There is an opposition from the moon to Saturn and also a Venus sextile to Saturn. Now, anytime usually we link those planets up with Saturn, we take a dip in our energy. But I think what this particular energy does is enable us to really see what's important to us, to see who is literally the most important to us. It gives us a dose of realism, being able to be realistic, even though there's Neptune involved. It's like we could be holistic in the way that we approach our relationships, our projects, the people in our lives, the ideas that we have. We are getting a stabilizing energy on Sunday. And that stabilizing energy brings on steadfastness or steadiness, if you will, and loyalty energy, loyalty in our relationships, our causes, our whatever it is that that means to us as individuals. The moon in Cancer is also in a trine to Mercury that day. So it also provides us the pathway to be able to speak those kinds of concepts to our loved ones, or even to ourselves in a way that's very supportive. So even though, like I say, Saturn is there and you may not be feeling like exuberantly joyful and excited and happy, but you're not feeling bad or low or depressed so much either. I think it's equanimity is the kind of the word that I want to bring up. And balanced, right? Balanced energy. And it's feel good, but without the rah-rah cheerleader energy, but it's not sadness either. It is that, you know, I'm comfortable where I am and I'm, you know, feeling good. Let's explore some things. And especially when you start to consider what is most important to you, what are your true values? Remember, Venus represents values. What do we value? What do we value as individuals? What do we value as a family or a community or a tribe? What do we value as a nation? What do we value as a planet? And how do you fit into that? So we get to look at that more on Sunday. Sunday is also a really good day from the Pleiadian earth energy as its two healing energy. Healing energy is Ish and in the Mayan calendar, and Ish was the jaguar. It is very shamanic energy. There's almost a magical quality to the day that comes up here in that we can right those imbalances. We can bring things into that equilibrium. And literally, what we can do here, or what we need to do here, is to consider what is it that I'm responsible for versus what is it that other people are responsible for? And am I trying to carry on everybody's responsibility, right? Am I putting too much on my shoulders and literally taking on my responsibility and other people's responsibilities? So there's this duality kind of energy. The two in the universal energy of the day is about duality. So in duality, we see ourselves as responsible, but we also can see where maybe we're taking on too much responsibility. Maybe we see where we haven't taken on responsibility for ourselves or for a condition that we're in, or for our own intention setting or our own expression of our gifts and our talents. And we can take pains that day to correct it, right? To heal it. That's the energy of the day. Sunday, kind of a magical day, magical and kind of a good day, right? Not it's not a rah-rah cheerleader kind of day, but it is a feel good. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. I'm in gratitude. I'm loyal and steadfast and stable kind of day. So that's what we get on Sunday. All right. Let's see, any other questions out here? Marjorie says, haha, tomorrow I have an opportunity to travel for a 2-day trip to Atlanta with my 23-year-old son. Then I heard nurturing cancer, but something smothering. So I say, no. Then I hear the read and explore new ideas and say, yes, arg, I'm a Libra. Marjorie, you can be a mother, just don't smother, right? You can get the cues from your son if you're feeling like, you know, if he's backing away, you're becoming too smothering. And you can, as a Libra, you're always in the process of balancing. It's not like it comes into balance and it stays. In science, there's a term called homeostasis. And homeostasis is balance or harmony or equilibrium. It is when everything is balanced, but homeostasis doesn't stay that way, right? The nature of the universe is change, and there's always something that comes along that upsets the homeostatic condition. And so it's a process of this, right? Those balancing things. And what you're hoping for is that you have this smaller frequency of balancing needed and not the big swings in the balance beam, right? Or in the scales, right? You don't want to keep going like this. You just want to be able to, you know, have the smaller issues or the smaller need to balance and harmonize. I think about it like you're, I don't know if you guys are cold back there yet where you live, Marjorie, but or where you live. I don't remember where you are. But you know how your thermostat for your heating of your house or the air conditioner in your house, either way, it works to keep the temperature. Let's say you've set the temperature for 68 degrees, right? It's not going to your house isn't going to stay at 68 degrees, right? The heat or the cool is going to come on. It's going to get it to 68 degrees. It's going to turn off. And then the temperature is going to slowly rise or dip depending on, you know, whether we're talking air or heat. And the heater is going to come back on, or the air conditioner is going to come back on to bring homeostasis back. That's what you need to remember. All of you out there who are Libras or anywhere where you have Libra in your chart, it is an act of homeostasis. Always trying to bring things into balance and harmony, but it's not going to always be in balance and harmony. That isn't the nature of the universe. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that helps. Marissa, tomorrow my husband and I will spend the day together celebrating our anniversary. Well, happy anniversary to the both of you. Sounds like a good weekend ahead. It really is. So here's, you know, same thing for me. Tomorrow's football with the kids. Tomorrow night is a fundraiser, all for the kids and their football league. Sunday, it is a Seahawks game. You're playing at home. home, right? Home. We're all headed to my daughter's house. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. And we're going to make Christmas gifts where, you know, the women often get together. The guys could do this if they wanted to too, but literally they don't like to do this, but we make wreaths or whatever we do, but it's going to be a home kind of day. And do I expect that it's all going to be smooth? No, I expect there's probably going to be some ups and downs and some things that happen, but it is going to be a good weekend for those kinds of things, right? The things that you love to do that bring us together in community, in couples, in family. So I think it's going to be a great weekend. Marjorie says, yes, makes sense. Thanks for that clarification. You're so welcome. And also you are welcome as well, Marissa. Okay, time-wise, let's see. I have one last thing that I'm going to bring up, but I'm not going to dig deep into this one. Likely I will bring this back up on Monday because the sun and the earth are also making a move this weekend in your human design to new gates. The sun on Sunday will move into the gate 50 while the earth moves into the gate 3. Now we're familiar with the gate 50 because Venus has been there, Mercury was there, Mars will go there. And the gate 50 is on the spleen center, right? Let's look at the human design chart. You're not going to see it. Are you going to see it defined? No, it's not defined by any planets yet. But as of Sunday, the sun will be right here at the gate 50 on the spleen. And this is why we said October and November and even into December, we're dealing with all of the energies on the spleen. So we're dealing with time. We're dealing with intuition. We're dealing with survival versus thriving. We're dealing with the energy of fear and how the shadow energies hold sway on the planet and how we can heal that by first healing those shadows and those fears within us. So this is why we're spending a lot of time going through the shadow energies. Well, the gate 50 is a gate in human design that we call the gate of values. So it's very feminine energy. And the feminine, it's on the feminine side of the tribal energy of the defense circuit in human design, if some of you, you know what that means. So the feminine energy here is about values. The opposite gate from that is about nurturing. So it is the job of the feminine energy supports laying down the values of the tribe, of the family, of the group, of the nation, and says, then these are the things that we use. We hold these values, and this is how we nurture them. We feed our children. We educate our children. We believe in the laws, right? Whatever those laws or those rules of the tribe are. And then it is the masculine energy that enacts those, right? That takes them out, that takes marching orders. And this is so back-assward right now in our world. The feminine lays down the values, the masculine protects them and supports them and initiates them. So the masculine is the active energy while the feminine is the inactive energy. It's the quieter energy. So on Sunday, then we begin a week-long energy of looking at values. What do we value? What are the things that we hold most dear? And likely at some point here, women, the feminine, is going to have to rise up even stronger than she has already. Right now, she's been bringing up the shadow energies of different things, right? The abuses, let's say. And yet with those abuses being focused on, we haven't really gotten to the point yet where we say, this is what we value, right? We've got to get that one louder. It's great that we've brought that up, right? That women aren't getting paid as well, that, you know, there's been this quid pro quo thing with sex, you know, in the workplace and women having to do more to be able to move up the ladder than the masculine. It's great to expose that. But what comes next is then the enacting of or the bringing of equilibrium, right? So Sunday, that energy begins to really pull us out of those shadows and into that equilibrium. And the Siddhi, the highest expression, remember, in this gate is harmony, right? So we're moving from the shadow energy is corruption. Now you can take corruption and you can see it in the world. You can see it in our politicians. You can see it in our organizations. You can see it in corporations. You can see it in government. But that isn't the kind of corruption that I'm talking about here. I am talking about corruption as in you've uploaded a program and it got misread. Somehow a piece of the information got left out or got corrupted in the translation. So this is largely happening in the DNA. So there is a corruption, if you will, that has occurred in this gene key or this gate over time. Now, originally, this energy would have kept us alive. It would have bonded the tribe. It would have brought the tribe together in mutual support of one another, in recognition that a tribe, a group, a community, a family is only as strong as its weakest link. And if I can empower that weakest link, if I can make sure all of that need, all of the needs of the weakest link are taken care of, then the tribe is that much stronger, right? So that if we are invaded by another tribe or a marauding group of nomads or something, we could withstand that because the whole of the tribe is in support and supported, right? So somehow, as we've gotten bigger population-wise and we've gotten more individualized, right, where our focus isn't so much on taking care of our families as or our tribes or our communities as much as it's making sure that my own needs are taken care of, we've gotten away. This energy's gotten corrupted, right? The message isn't translating the same way anymore. I hope this makes sense to everybody because, you know, we could look up the dictionary definition of corruption and it's going to read like, you know, a negative book. All we have to do when a program is corrupted is reload the program, right? That's what you do, right? You uninstall and you reinstall, right? And that fixes the transcription. So in your DNA, it is the messenger RNA with a amino acid, I think it's called transcriptase, that comes along and it takes that energy, that information, and it brings it to all the cells. And then the cell divides. Both cells then have the correct version. In corruption, something happens to the cell. It doesn't get all the energy. It doesn't get all of the message correct. So the cell likely dies. And then if this becomes a problem over time, then it leads to more cell death, which can lead to disease in the body. So what we could look at then is in our society, in our nations, in our families, etc., that there's been a mixed message that's come in, a corrupted message, and it's been divided and been implanted in the next cells for so long that now we are actually going to have to take some very powerful steps, make some very powerful choices about what our values are and what it means to live by those values, right? What does it mean to live by those values? And I'm going to give you a very blatant example. And then, of course, there's many, many minor examples of this going on with individuals. If we, as a nation, value children, then why is it that we were enacting cages for immigrant children or for illegal immigrants, right? We're not treating them the same way, right? There's a corruption in that message, in that, you know, and I don't mean to be this, make this political. It's just a corruption here. You can't say that you value life and that you value children, that you're anti-abortion and that you're, you know, all of this, and then put those very children in cages, right? Corruption. That's a mismatch. Something's wrong in the translation of that message. So we have this opportunity to fix that message over the next course of the week, or at least look at how it's applying to us in our personal lives. Now, the earth is always going to lay down the gauntlet, right? The earth is the challenger to this, right? The sun says focus on values, but the earth says, but let's have chaos first, right? So earth brings up chaos. In the gate three, it's chaos. Out of that chaos comes innovation, right? And out of innovation comes innocence. And that's not necessarily a logical flow, but it does make sense in a way. We'll look at that deeper as we go into next week. This gate of innovation, gate three, is often literally a DNA, a leap in your DNA. What do they call that? An evolutionary leap, that out of this chaos, like the pot stirring, right? We stir the pot to bring up the flavors from the bottom to mix with the other flavors, right? So we're pot stirring, and creating chaos often acts as that pot stirring, and it brings things up to the surface for us to look at. So when we look at our outer world, you know, and we see in Mexico City, there's this big thing going on. We see in our own government, all this stuff going on. It's really just the stuff from the bottom coming up so that we can look at it, so that we are aware of its existence. And then we're being challenged by that to live out the high side of the values, right? That's what this next week will be all about. In the repressed expression of this gate, it can be super control, where we're super controlling, and or on the rebellious side, creating chaos just for the sake of chaos. Not so much fun, right? All right. So questions, anybody? Marissa says, I can relate. I can tell when I am smothering my 11-year-old son because he zones out. Ah, great. Marjorie says, yes, makes sense. There you go. Okay. So let me give you a couple of reminders here. I'm going to pull some cards for the weekend. I don't think I have time today to do, well, I might pull a couple of cards. Two people, the first two people that tell me they'd like a card reading, go. Reminder from the beginning of the show, I said circle December 11th on your calendars. December 11th at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. East Coast time, we will do the Astrology for 2020 webinar. If you are a member of Living Astrology Academy, you get to go to this free because it's included in your membership. And if you would like to join the membership, you certainly can, and you too will be able to get it free. I haven't yet decided the price. I'm believing it's going to be around $25 to be a part of that webinar. And you don't want to miss this one. You don't want to miss this one because year 2020 is extreme in its expression. And as if 2019 hasn't been. But anyway, we'll be doing that on the 11th. And I'm going to ask all of you a favor right now. And I'm going to post this later. I'm going to make a note to myself, post this. My friend Cornelia Stephanie, and you might remember her from having done the Ascension and Astrology show with me earlier this year. She is very near to getting 1,000 subscribers on her YouTube channel. And I don't know if you guys know much about YouTube, but if you're a business owner like me or like she is, in order to monetize, to be able to get sponsorships, you have to have at least 1,000 subscribers. And that sounds like a little number, but it's really hard because people don't necessarily, they love to watch YouTube videos, but they don't always subscribe. So I'm going to ask you to go to the YouTube channel for Cornelia Stephanie and subscribe to her channel. She asked me for this favor, and I am one that loves to help other business owners get what they need, because I expect that at some point I will need something and I will ask her for a favor too. We scratch each other's backs. We take care of one another. That's what we do in this world. So if you're so inclined, please go look on YouTube, search Cornelia with a K, Stephanie, and subscribe to her YouTube channel. She has lots of great information. She's really a great speaker. So if you feel like you can do that, please do so. Now, hey, Christian, nice to see you. I haven't seen you in forever. Christian wants a card. Awesome. So you must have been listening in the background, Christian. I love it. And let's see who else would like a card. Michelle Gay, good morning to you. Allison would like a card for the collective. I'm definitely down for that one, Allison. And Asa, card, please. Okay. And see, is there anybody else that absolutely has to have one? Hey, you guys did great. So, Christian, I'm going to use the deck called Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed. And it is literally the most magical of the decks, but I also have the animal deck, the spirit animal oracle by Colette Baron-Reed that we can use too. But this one is for you, Christian. And let's just see what it does. Ooh, they need mixing up. Christian, I have a whole gaggle of cards here that for you. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to, it's like it's telling a story here. And the story is this: the very first card out was the card Yin. And Yin is a very feminine energy. And it is the number two, the card number two. The second card that came out was Chop Wood, Gate 42, or no, Gate, Card 42. Chop Wood, which implies having to do something, right? To get practical, to get down to earth. Then I have regeneration, upside down in protection mode. So something that you're needing to rebuild, regrow, reevaluate. And this is, like I said, card number 46, which is a 10, which is a one. So a rebirth, but from protection. And the very end card of the story is a beautiful, happy, happy. Happy, happy card 26, which is an eight. So I think I'm gonna, because this is gonna take some time, I'm gonna go through these very superficially to start with, and then I will email you maybe the rest of the cards. I think that's probably the better way to do it to give everybody some time here. So yin, the essential meaning of the card yin is this: the feminine principle of receptivity, letting someone else make the first move. Gathering information and taking in cues, the art of conscious allowing. And it basically says this is a time of calculated receptivity as you gracefully await what is coming to you, ready to accept it when it appears. Yin does not involve frozen dreams or even resting, but rather consciously allowing things to flow to you. The opposite of the masculine of going out and getting, this is holding space for it to show up. It implies sensitivity as you alertly study the actions of others and contemplate how they will affect you and yours. Remember, you must make space for miracles to appear. Be the shaped, not the shaper, and you'll see how quickly your dreams manifest. Then that went on to the chop wood. So while you're waiting for something to manifest, this basically says just do what's in front of you to do, right? Chop wood, carry the water. That's a Buddhist saying, I think. Chop wood just says being grounded in everyday experience and humility. And I will send you more of what that card means. Regeneration in protection was card 46. And its essential meaning is rebirth, second chances, new opportunities. In protection, just real quickly, endings come in many forms. And now is the time to stop holding on to what must die so that something better can take its place. Nature's cycles include disease, decay, death, and regeneration. Let whatever isn't working in your life die. And don't be afraid to face the facts. There is no need to struggle or grieve. Whatever your query, let it go. You're about to be reborn. And then, of course, out of that rebirth comes happy, 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 happy. And that would be card 26. This is the first time I think that I've actually gotten this kind of storyline reading, which is so interesting to me. We'll see what happens with the other readings. So 26, happy, happy means joy and contentment, a sense of fulfillment, a feeling that all is well. Your desires are effortlessly fulfilled now. After, remember, this is a storyline that we're getting. So after you've done the reception, I'm being the shaped, not the shaper. Then I'm chopping wood. I'm doing what needs to be done while I'm waiting. And then rebirth, I'm letting go of something so that rebirth can happen. Then happy, happy, happy. Find joy in the present moment, whatever is happening, and be satisfied with things as they are. You're free from the shackles of longing and able to express or experience, excuse me, the liberation that comes from actually being happy moment to moment, for you've chosen happiness over yearning for it. Now is the time for feeling joy for the sake of joy and experiencing contentment. None of this is because of something outside of yourself. Your happiness is a result of your being at one with spirit's plan for your life. All is well. The tide is in for now. Enjoy playfully splashing in it. There you go. So I'm going to quick write these cards down because I want to send you the rest of the story. And Chop Wood was 42. And 46 was in protection. And 26. Okay, this is Christian. All right, Christian, thank you for letting me do that, and thank all of you for indulging me that longer reading. And let's see, Allison asked for a card for the collective, so that is what comes next here. And oh my goodness, Asa, I already have, and she's a beautiful soul. You both are awesome. Thank you, Asa. Christian says yes. Allison, yay. Willa, I would too. If I get a chance, I will. I am not subscribed, and here is a link for anyone who needs it. Thank you very much. Amy, and she says she's very close. I will check out and share on my Instagram story. I am now subscribed. Awesome. Thank you. Christian, thank you so much. It resonates with me. Please, and the name of your friend on the new YouTube channel is Cornelia Stephanie. Cornelia Stephanie. So if you do a search on YouTube, you'll be able to find her. All right, Allison. Allison, this is the one that you asked for the collective. And hold on here. Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it when they fly. And it's higher power in reverse, or in protection. Card number 4. So this card is very light, and my room is kind of light too. But if you can see that, it's this beautiful, like angel-like being receiving light from heaven. And I believe that's a keyhole on her forehead. Can you see that? I might have to post this card up, or it's the key, right? Intuition meaning maybe the key for all of us. Let's see. So card 4. In reverse, even though it was, I just showed it to you upright. The essential meaning, conscious contact with a higher power, the presence of the divine, seeing source energy in all things, committing to a partnership with spirit. And the protection message. Now, this was for the collective, so this is for all of you. Now is the time to examine what you are giving energy and attention to in the back of your mind. If you're obsessing about being right, about old resentments or failed expectations, about money, or about any other people, places, or things, these will be the source from which you create. But you want spirit to be your source. Take heart, for your higher power will never desert you and is always waiting for you to remember the sacred partnership you share. Turn away from the sources of power that don't serve your highest good. There is no greater source than spirit. You can always surrender your troubles and trust that they will be taken care of. You are in good hands. So no matter what the world looks like, no matter what is going on in your personal life, all you have to do is reach out to source, and there you have it. All right. Asa. Thank you, Allison. And yeah, it's Cornelia with a K, by the way. K-O-R-N-E-L-I-A. And Stephanie. Regular Stephanie. That sounds funny, regular Stephanie. All right, Asa wanted a card. Asa, I'm going to pull you a card now. I'm also going to grab an animal in a minute for us as a collective. That just came through. So, Asa, this is for you. And so, Asa, Christian got yin, you get yang. So here we have a balance going on here with card number 1, yang. And it was right side up. So Asa, right side up, yang means I think it's time for you to get on the bus and do something here. Maybe that's what it says. We'll see. The essential meaning of the card is the masculine principle of movement and creative activity, the power to make things happen, taking action. And the Oracle's message says, yang represents the power of action, the energies that propel the world forward and manifest thought and desire into concrete form. Now is the perfect time to act, for you can easily build momentum and make headway. What you want will come to fruition if you proceed confidently. This card signifies new life and is a sure sign that obstacles have been overcome. There is no reason to hesitate. You are the shaper of your destiny. Now, not tomorrow, but now. All right, that's Asa's. And let's see, someone else I saw here wanted a card now. Okay, Willa, I will do one for you, Willa. But before I do yours, Willa, I want to pull an animal card for us as a collective, I felt like there was a supportive piece here that we were missing. So we're going to pull that card. This is for the collective, an animal spirit that will guide us, lead us, protect us if we need to, be the sign. Sandpiper. Look at that. I see these birds a lot. These little things. Sandpiper spirit says, be playful. It is card number 51, which is a 6. So be playful. I don't know if we had this card before, guys. At least not in this kind of a reading. And it was right side up, and its message says, sandpipers are like cute little clowns poking their beaks into the sand before darting off to chase the waves. The appearance of sandpiper spirit is a sign that now is the time to engage your playfulness. Whatever tasks you have before you, perform them with a lightness of being. Explore the familiar, discovering the new in the old. Who knows what treasures await you when you let yourself laugh and have fun. Sandpiper spirit's happy and curious nature can help you to feel rejuvenated as you remember your ability to run and fly and dance playfully. I think we needed that to lighten up our day for sure. There we go. Sandpiper spirit. And all right, now we're going to do a card reading for Willa, and that will be it for us today. Okay, so Willa. Well, these want to be mixed up, and you get time to go, but in reverse or in protection. Time to go is card number 45, which is a 9, which implies endings. So time to go reversed. 45. What are you needing to let go of, girl? And let's see here. The essential meaning of the time to go card says endings. Completion, walking away from something because there is nothing else to learn or experience. And the protection message says, even if it appears that you've reached the end of the line and all is lost, it isn't. You're in a situation that will resurface again later, so consider this a break rather than an ending. Destiny is in charge here. You lose nothing and gain everything when you surrender to that fact. Your soul knows that your destiny is unfolding with perfect timing and synchronicity. Your small self has doubts, but that is natural, as it doesn't have the map of your destiny. The soul does. So spirit loves you. Trust that. That's a pretty cool card. I want you to see this again. She's like walking off into the mist, right? She doesn't know necessarily where that road is, but she's doing it. All right. Okay. Well, that is it for me, everybody. I hope you've all learned something new today, something that you can use as you go on into the weekend. Thank you all for being here with me today. Much love to everybody. Everybody's telling each other, have a great weekend, peace and love, etc. I love that. I love how everybody supports one another here. Take care. I will see you Monday at 8 o'clock. In the morning, PT, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Until then, have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.